This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to skip the BS. It's time for Undisputed. It's time for Paul Pierce and Keyshawn Johnson and I to dive deep into the Lakers' 110-106 survival last night in New Orleans. Zion Williamson had scored 40 points and just tied the game with 3:13 left when he somehow injured himself coming down after, I don't know, a pretty routine bucket, a little 3-foot floater over Anthony Davis. Zion ended up running to the locker room and did not return. I believe it was the most mysterious injury I have ever seen. The Pelicans would say only that it was a quote-unquote left leg injury, no specifics. I do not believe the Lakers would have won if Zion had finished that game, but they did win. They do either get to or have to play defending champ Denver in the first round instead of the conference finals like last year. Game one, Saturday, 8:30 Eastern in Denver. So, Paul, kick us off here with your opinion of what happened last night in that game.
I mean, first off, good win, because that was the goal. Get the win, get some rest for Saturday. But a lot of concerns with this game because the Lakers, they went up 18, supposed to put a team like this away. They gave up a lead. On a night where LeBron doesn't shoot well, AD doesn't shoot well, and you get a win because you have role players who stepped up.
Yep.
I mean, you'll take that. But moving forward, they got to play better, Skip, Keyshawn. Mm. This is not a team playing like this that you want to see going to Denver. You know, they got thrashed in the paint. I mean, they gave up 62 points. They got crushed on the rebounds. And if you play like this versus the Denver Nuggets, the defending champs in their building, you're going to go home early. And by early, I mean you might get swept. And so, yeah, it was a good win. There's some positives that you can take from this. Obviously, you like what D'Angelo Russell did, Austin Reeves did. But moving forward, they got to play better. And you're right. They were on the ropes if Zion had stayed in the game because he was just unstoppable. And I'm thinking, like, he was playing the game of his life, so it had to be some type of injury. It looked mysterious. It didn't look like much. But something had to happen because you're having a game of your life. You tie the game up.
Game of your life.
I mean, game of your life. And you go up and you tie the game up and you come out. So I know it has to be something. But, you know, good win for the Lakers moving forward.
Yep.
They need to be better, though, if they want to at least push this series beyond four games with the Nuggets.
I hear you. So, Keyshawn, are you more relieved or happy? Which way are you? Are you...
A win is a win is a win. We got the win, Skip.
You did get the win.
I expect the form to continue that 18-point onslaughter with 5:32 to go in the third quarter.
I
it
agree.
Didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Okay, they closed the gap. They tied it up. I get all that. LeBron didn't play well. He shot well from free throws, as you like to say, Skip. There are free throws for a reason. He was 10 of 10. He's gotten better at that. That's one up on him with the GOAT conversation.
Oh.
That's one up on him.
Wait, I thought you didn't do GOAT conversations.
No, but so he didn't play well. He didn't shoot the ball particularly well. You know, you look at him, he was 6-20 from the field. But at the free throw line, he cashed it in. He played bully ball, you know, and he did get to the cup many times and went to the line. That was a plus. Anthony Davis has to play better.
Yep.
Can't get pushed around when he's down low. He has to finish. He's already at the rim. He had an opportunity to have a lot of and ones last night, but he couldn't cash in the easy.
Yeah.
I'm already kissing the rim. But for some reason, I can't put it in.
Nope.
But then, okay, so now you say, well, the role players, as I said to you yesterday, and as I said throughout these conversations, those guys, Austin Reeves, Hachimura, along with D'Lo, have got to finish. And they did. D'Lo especially knocked down crucial threes, especially late in the game in the fourth quarter, a minute and some change ago. He hit the one in the corner. Reeves assist, knocked it down, go up by four.
Yep.
The game was over at that point, right? It was pretty much over with. So when I look at this matchup against the Nuggets, if you want to move things forward, they've got to clearly play better. But they got to go back and look at the things that they've done wrong in the last eight appearances against the Nuggets and fix that, whatever that is.
Whatever that is.
They got to fix that if they want to have an opportunity. Steal one. I don't care if it's the first one or the second, but you can't come back to L.A. 0-2 because it's going to be hard as hell if you come back to L.A. 0-2 to tie it up. It's curtains. It's over with.
It's curtains.
Yeah, it's curtains.
Agreed.
And I think they know that. Now, look, Anthony Davis didn't play well last night, Skip, but he did have a back injury, okay? He did.
Yeah,
to some degree.
I got it. Yep.
And I don't know how well he was feeling last night.
Mm.
He played.
Yep.
So you would think with the rest that he's getting now over the next several days, that back will be much better, and he'll be able to withstand the punishment down low, the bruising, the pounding, or that Joker will put his butt up on him and bounce him around. Mm-hmm. He'll be able to withstand that.
Yeah.
I would think so. And then LeBron just got to shoot it better. He, too, again, at times, he was so out of control. It's Speedy Gonzalez down the lane. He fell one time. I was like, LeBron, come on, man. Because I think he thought that they was going to defend him.
And he moved out the way. It's almost like the chair got pulled out from
the chair got pulled from underneath him because he was coming down.
Yeah.
He was coming downhill so damn fast.
Agreed.
I'm like, you gotta start to be under control, man, and stop taking bad shots and getting caught in traps where you trap, you can't get rid of the ball, and you wind up just taking a bad shot because you're holding on to it too long. Get rid of the ball. I need some pace. I need the ball to move around in different people's hands. And if they could correct that, I'm giving us a fighting chance, man. I don't care what nobody say.
Right.
I know everybody out there, Skip, that the Nuggets is bringing out the broom again. I don't believe that.
Okay. Yeah. All right, my turn. To your point about the free throws, he did make 10 out of 10. And I say to that what I said to 41% from three. It's about damn time. We're near 21, and finally he's making free throws. That better hold through the next four games or five games or six games or whatever it's going to take. He's going to have to keep making free throws and start making threes again in big games because he did not shoot it well from three last night. He was one of five. Okay. Now, I'm going to say this again. I really like this basketball team. I've liked it from the start. And I loved what Gabe Vincent started to bring to this team last night because I started seeing little flashes of that guy who scored 29 points against your Celtics last year in game three in Miami.
He knocked down a couple crucial threes.
And the same guy who scored 25 points in game two at Denver last year in the finals, which was the only game that Miami won. He is capable, and he's finally getting legs underneath him. So I like that. And yet, to both of your points, with 6:21 left in the third quarter, I tweeted in all caps, bring on the Nuggets, because the Lakers were up by 18 at that point. And from that moment on, they proceeded to give up a 38-20 run. 38-20? It's wrong. It's just, it's scary wrong to me because you're better than that, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're flawed to the core. But
I think LeBron was out a little bit of that time.
Yeah, but they couldn't get it back, and little Alvarado came in and then jump started.
He gets on my nerves, man.
Well, he gets on their nerves. He gets on D'Lo's nerves.
I didn't get on my nerves, Paul.
Grand Theft Alvarado.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he and D'Lo got into it early. And then every shot D'Lo made, he's looking at the bench, talking to their bench. He had something going with them, but whatever. If you had told me going into this game that LeBron and AD would combine to shoot 12 of 36, I'd say curtains for this game, right? Mm-hmm. And yet, Zion, I'm a big fan. And I was Zion over Ja coming out in that draft, and then it was going back and forth, and Ja's had his issues off the court, but it's always been kind of 50-50 between those two. Last night was his first postseason game, and that was a coming out party for him because he was cooking them. And to your both your points, I mean, you got blasted in points in the paint, 62-30. Are you kidding?
It was all him.
It was all him.
So he's got 40 points, and we get to the flashpoint moment, and he just goes up and scores easily over AD. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, this feels wrong again because it's 95 all. And he comes down, and it doesn't look like he came down awkwardly or dangerously, did it? It didn't to me. And he's got a little bit of hitch in his step, just maybe a tiny bit of gimpy little limp in him as he's going to the bench. And he sits for a second. There it is again. And he's angry. And then he just picks up he pulls his jersey over his face. And then he goes and sits on the bench. And then he throws the towel. And he gets up and he runs to the locker room. And I'm thinking, if you can run to the locker room, why couldn't you run back out onto the floor?
Power walk.
Right?
Power
walk. Okay. All right. But I'm saying, I don't know. And it's, look, I always tell you, and I'll tell you now, when we talk about injuries, I don't know. There's only one human in this world who really knows what happened, and it's that human.
Yeah.
What went on inside his left leg? I don't know.
If it was a hamstring, it can go all the way up to his buttocks.
Okay, but Keyshawn, if it were a hamstring, he wouldn't have moved the way he moved. Yeah,
it could be a hamstring.
A little more gimpy. Yeah. I've had a hamstring injury.
Yeah, but it may not be.
I've tweaked my hamstring.
It could be to the point where it's not as severe as you would think because they call it a hamstring. It could just be a simple tweak, and he's not comfortable, and he doesn't feel like he can stretch it out and run. That's what it could be.
Okay, I'm with you.
Like that.
Okay.
No, you can walk like that.
No.
No, you can walk like that.
You're not walking like that.
I told you in the hallway, basketball players are a little different than football players. So anything, it can be a nail, y'all done for the week. It can be a little bitty hangnail, y'all done for the week.
Wait, you're talking to Wheelchair Paul here, right?
I came back in the game.
He did.
Wheelchair Paul.
I came back in the game.
So funny you mentioned that, Skip. So I was talking to somebody last night after the game when this happened, and they said that Paul should have gave him the wheelchair.
I got it still.
Okay, and you did come back in the game.
Wasn't that wrong with him?
Yeah,
I came back. So what's wrong with Zion?
Okay,
what might be wrong with him? Why would you?
I had a twisted meniscus.
I understand. I've had injuries. I played with torn MCL. I get it, but it something's wrong with the man.
Something's wrong with him.
But Keyshawn.
He couldn't go.
This is your superstar coming out party, right?
I understand that, but something is obviously wrong with him.
What are you doing? Can you not just be a football player and suck it up and just come back on the floor?
That's different, though. That's not stop and go. You can wrap it. You can wrap your hamstring as a football player and go out there and play with no problem at all. It's hard because he's got to jump. He's at different movements and motions. And if he didn't feel good, clearly something's wrong with him. You honestly think that he would bow out with three minutes left in the game?
I don't think he would do that.
No.
But I will tell you this. This probably was the most mysterious injury.
It was. That's what
I've ever seen.
Ever.
But he could have, Paul.
He could have pulled his hamstring. Usually when you pull something, when you strain something, like we saw Giannis do, like we saw multiple players do, you grab something. Like he literally went up, came down, and grabbed his jersey and put it over his face.
Because he could feel it. But what I was about to say to you...
Don't your natural reaction tell you, like, oh...
Your natural reaction won't tell you that if you already injured it and you fought through it. Now, all of a sudden, you re-injured it, and now you know I can't go anymore. If you look at Anthony Davis in this game a couple days ago, he got pushed in the back by Nance Jr. We had to go back and look at the clips to find out what the injury was at because when he came off the screen, all of a sudden, he's limping and everybody's like, what the hell is wrong with him?
So your natural reaction is going to show the injury. He's limping. What did we see Zion do? He didn't grab at nothing, so he didn't look down at nothing. Like, a natural, you've been, like, hurt before.
Yeah.
You grab a shoulder. You grab a hamstring. So that's why I was like, it was kind of mysterious the way it all went down.
It looked weird, but I'm telling you, he did something.
Remember, like, look, he went up, laid the ball up, and walked 2, 3, turned around, looked, stared him down. and then just put this jersey over his face, right? And just walk in like.
But the walk looks like, okay to me, right? Yeah. Right. Hey, Keyshawn, on the AD play, his back didn't spasm clearly until the next sequence.
Yes.
Okay, because your back will it'll be tweaked, but it won't grab.
You're correct about that. What I'm saying to you guys on this is what if he hurt it in the beginning of the third quarter or somewhere along the lines, and now all of a sudden he re-injured it to the point where he knows, damn, I can't go.
Okay, I hear all that, but we always talk about, do you have that dog in you or not?
I get
and,
it.
And
at Michael
some
played
point,
with a 200-degree temperature. Well, I get it. I understand.
You know how it is. You played with a torn whatever it was, right?
Yep.
Okay, you just do. This man got out of his wheelchair and finished the game, okay? You just do.
First of all, you shouldn't have been in the damn wheelchair. Stop, man. Roll with no paw. You had to go to the restroom, man.
No, I did.
Okay.
Sweet my meniscus. Come on, man.
All right, so from that point forward, now it's a basketball game because they've lost their heart and soul player, the guy who's been dominating. So now it's like, level playing field all of a sudden. Now, who's going to make the play to win the game? And I'm going to suggest that AD did make the play that won the game because this is 17 seconds left, and LeBron's having a rough night, and he's having a rough fourth quarter. What was he, 1 of 6 from the field?
He didn't play well.
Okay, he did not play well. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, 1 for 8 from the floor in the fourth quarter. But he's pushing and he's trying and he goes over here to the left and he takes an ill-advised shot.
I don't know what he's doing.
It was just a bad idea and it's like a 3-foot short air ball and guess who goes and gets it?
Coming to help you. Why would you pin yourself in the corner?
I don't know. But listen, that was a grown man rebound. I think it's over, is it over Nance Jr.?
Yes, Nance Jr.
Yeah. And listen, that saved the game.
Yeah.
That's a 2-point game at that point. And if Nance comes down with the basketball, they're going the other way down 2. And I don't know what's going to happen from that point on.
Yeah. And when he was going into the corner, all I could do is Skip was on my left shoulder.
But he just hit a shot like that.
No, he didn't hit that shot
a couple minutes ago.
No, he just made a jumper.
He made a jumper. It wasn't that shot.
Over Herb Jones, he made a jumper.
Yeah, it wasn't that right there.
But this is a fadeaway.
This is fading away, going out of bounds.
With two people chasing you. Yeah, come on.
And
now.
I, for whatever reason, I knew he was going to miss this. And all I could think of was Skip. I swear to you, I might have texted you at the same time, Paul. It was, Skip.
What are you doing? And yet, AD comes down with the basketball and marches to the free throw line and makes both of them.
Yeah.
Right. And it saved you because it felt like that was game over, even though they gave him a couple of easy twos on the other end, and Austin Reeves had to make a couple of free throws.
Well, the inbound ball scared me, too.
It was a little scary.
Because I did not have to call that if I'm a ref. I could have just swallowed my whistle.
Yep.
On the inbound, when LeBron,
close,
the NBA, I could have swallowed my whistle.
You could just see once Zion started walking to the locker room, it really took the air out of the building. It really did, because he's like we say, he's playing the game of his life, and you hope that he's fine and he's okay. And you just felt like, okay, once he walked to the back, the Lakers should win this game easily.
Okay.
You know? And they did. So
and I want to give you props. You did call this yesterday, and I'm surprised you didn't say it in your opening salvo, but you did say the Lakers going to shoot a whole lot more free throws. That they did because they do. They were second in the league in free throw attempts to, believe it or not, Orlando. I don't know how Orlando led the league in free throw attempts, but they did. And yet the Lakers win the free throw line. They get 29-15 free throws for the home team. And Willie Green was not happy about it after the game.
I was talking to Rav, actually. I said, Paul said the Lakers was going to shoot way more free throws and LeBron was going to get way more calls, both on the offense and the defensive end. Loved it. He got a lot of – he took 2 charges in that game?
He did.
I loved it.
He took one from Zion. And you want to talk about elephant versus elephant. Boy, that is a collision.
But see, here's again with – he took that from Zion. Get up, though. You wasn't that hurt. LeBron, get up. You 272. Get your tail up.
And I think it did hurt him.
Man, get up, man. You LeBron.
Get up. Jump in front of that Mack truck. Zion, that's going. You're going to feel the pain from that shoulder in your chest.
The way he was rolling around, I thought he got shot.
Zion is about 300 pounds muscle.
No, I know.
I'm shocked that LeBron even took that charge. So, you know,
he didn't shoot well,
but I will tell you this. He made necessary plays for
him. He did, absolutely.
You know, he didn't shoot well, but he taking the charge.
He took two charges, and he had
some nice dimes.
Hey, yeah. He had three steals and two blocks. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Nine assists.
Nine assists and nine rebounds.
Good dimes he threw out there.
No, they needed every one of them. And your man D'Lo, he comes and he goes, but
he came.
He mostly came, yeah, right? Yeah. Okay.
He knocked that shot in the corner with whatever it was, less than a minute to go and put us up by four when we was up by one. We needed that. And he knocked it down. It didn't touch the rim.
Yeah.
It was all net.
It was also. Do we have that? I thought it was.
It was a great pass. It was a great pass by Reeves.
Austin Reeves.
And if I can remember,
that was the sequence where LeBron just said, "Austin."
But he put that defender in a bind. That defender. And there's no way in the world he should leave.
No.
He should leave D'Lo wide open like that, right, Paul?
Yeah.
No, not at all. You know what I like about D'Lo that he's giving them? He's playing with a certain type of swagger, dude. You know what I'm saying? He's been confident this whole year because, Alvarado got in his face that part, he really didn't budge.
No.
You know what I'm saying? You like that from your role players.
Yeah.
That stand strong, that really stand in there because you expect that from your stars, your leaders.
Alvarado.
So, he had the littlest guy run up on him and he baited him into a technical even though he got one. I like what D'Lo is bringing to the game as a role player.
All right.
He's really
the X-factor. Keyshawn, I've told you, and we'll get deeper into this when we talk about Denver, but Austin Reeves needs to have a little bigger role to close games. And he said after the game that he was very happy that LeBron was confident enough in him in that last sequence. Mm-hmm. That was 51 seconds left. Mm-hmm. LeBron said, here, you do this. Do it this time. I'm going to let you have the ball. And he just got out of the way. And it was Austin who got in the lane and kicked the ball out.
What I told y'all a few weeks ago. LeBron's got to trust these guys. He got to allow these guys to make plays. He can't control every situation. And that's the best version of the Lakers when he does that. And I like the fact that you deferred to him and you allowed the two guys that you need most, if you're trying to make a deep run into the playoffs, to allow them to make plays and give them confidence. Because more times than not, Anthony Davis not going to shoot 6-for-20 and LeBron's not going to shoot 6-for-16 and you're going to win. So that was great for them.
All right, final point. You saw what happened in Sacramento. We all thought Golden State was going to win. We'll get deeper into the game in just a moment.
Ooh, man.
But what could have happened if Zion does not mysteriously get hurt? If they close the game with Zion scoring 10 more points and they win, all of a sudden, you know what would have happened? Then you would have to come home and face your ultimate nemesis, Sacramento.
It didn't happen, though. Skip, so why even bring that up?
Well, it was that close.
If Zion going to score 10 more points with 4 minutes to go in the game, then we deserve to lose.
Okay. If you do go and win this year's championship, you will look back at the flashpoint moment was Zion's injury, right?
We won't.
Yes, you will.
No, we won't.
Trust me. Well, I will. I'm going to remind you.
They was exchanging buckets at that point. So how could you just say that Zion go with 4 minutes to go, he's just going to take it completely over? He's going to go on a 10-0 run?
I want you on record. You think you would have won the game if Zion did not go out of the game?
Look, here's what I'm going to say before you move on to pay some bills. It didn't happen. We won the game.
Oh.
That's what happened.
I know what my
eyes
told
me. What we will be talking about is if we go on to win it, LeBron James took him from the 8th seed to the world championship. That's what we will be talking about.
That'll be an amazing feat.
It would be a feat. It wouldn't make
seven
him any kind of a goal.
Yeah, seven.
Seven. That's right.
Seven.
He would be the seven. It
seven
feels like the 8.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So, with 3 minutes and 13 seconds left in that game last night, Zion scored over Anthony Davis, a little 3-foot floater to tie the game, gave Zion 40 points for the game, including going 4 of 4 in that fourth quarter. Zion was having the game of his life. just exploding again and again over and around and through the Lakers. It did not look like he came down dangerously or awkwardly after making that shot. Then he walked to the bench with, I don't know, maybe a slight limp, sat for a moment, threw a towel in anger, and then he fast walked up the tunnel toward the locker room. Pel's coach Willie Green was asked specifically what was wrong. Was it a knee, an ankle, a groin? Willie said all he knew was that it was a quote-unquote left leg injury. So cryptic, so mysterious. I have no idea exactly how or what was hurt with Zion. I just could not believe that a rising superstar who was able to fast walk to the locker room didn't at least try to come back and go back in the game, whatever the injury was. So, Paul Pierce, help me out here. What do you think happened?
I really don't know, Skip. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never seen an injury where a player didn't grab onto something or even wince a little bit. Usually, like, when you come down on an injury on a turn ankle, you see that right away. Or even when you strain a calf or you strain a hamstring, like we saw Giannis strain his calf, he fell right to the ground.
Down, yep.
You know, Zion makes such a great move right here. He powers it up. He comes down. He's not limping. He turns around. And I'm like, all right, good move. Good move. Turns around, starts walking. I don't know if he tweaked the ankle, but he just puts his face, his shirt over his face and goes to the bench, then walks off. I mean, he didn't walk off gingerly. But it was mysterious to me. He's having the game of his life. You would just think with 3 minutes to go, he would somehow find a way to finish the game. But it clearly was something. I mean, I don't think the magnitude of this game, you would walk off and lead your team with 3 minutes to go if it's not something. But, you know, we have yet to know. I mean,
Dr. Johnson, even though I'm not a doctor, as I'm watching the clip and he comes down, it looked as though to me when he came down, he might have jammed something. Because it's almost like a misstep.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, and so
even if you jam, like I've jammed toes, you're going to limp. You're going to ouch. You're going to grimace.
Well, that's you. He probably could fight through that, though.
Fight through it is staying on the court.
He probably could fight through grimacing, though. He probably could. I'm just saying. Just because you and I, we reach for something as soon as it... You know, we like, oh, man, our shoulder, our elbow, our knee. Doesn't mean that he didn't feel it. Doesn't mean that he didn't injure it earlier, and then all of a sudden, it comes back again.
No, but what do you always say about basketball players?
Well, that's
they ain't football players.
No,
right?
Paul knows that. They
okay,
they
most basketball players go down like they're shot, right?
Well, okay? It's true.
Well, they
it's
do.
It's true, but they he's do. Not a normal built basketball player body. Okay, right. So... When he, if you look at the, if you look right here, Skip, right, when he comes down, we can't see it right there because the bar is in front of us.
Last step, you think it's Achilles?
When he comes down, it's almost like he jammed something. Watch the step.
Down.
Right there. Right when he.
I understand. I got it.
It looks like it looks as though something got jammed.
I'm with you, but there was no limp that resulted from the jam. There's nothing.
Right. I understand that, but he probably could withstand. That
so you're saying he was too tough for his own good, like he was so tough that we can't even read into.
He might be, though, Skip. Some guys get hurt, and you don't even notice that they hurt. Okay, when we look at AD from the other night, he gets pushed in the back by Nance. He played. He ran back up and down the court.
I know, but
then all of a sudden, as soon as they tried to put the screen on him, he spinned out of it. He was down for the night.
Okay, but you know, and I know AD has a long history of being fragile. I mean, like the littlest things shut him down.
I understand too, but this young man's been hurt in the NBA as well.
He has.
He's had hamstring injuries on his right leg last season. He's been nicked and bruised.
But he played this year. He played
both of them have.
Yep, they both have. But think about the moment for Zion. He scored 40 points. He's made all four of his shots in the fourth quarter. He's got the Los Angeles Lakers on the ropes.
Yes, that is correct.
On national TV in his house.
Yes.
And that is his house.
Yeah.
And by the way, they had lost five straight games in his house. Yeah. And now they've lost six straight games. Now they got a seventh game against Sacramento.
But if I can't go, Skip.
I understand.
And he couldn't clearly go.
And he was clearly angry about it. Like he knew immediately, I am done for the night.
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
He pulls his jersey up over his face.
Yes, as soon as it happens, He lands on the ground. He walks away. He turns. As he's walking, he's like, whatever he says, damn, I can't believe this. And he pulls his jersey over his head as he walks toward the bench. Okay. Because he knew.
Look how he's walking after, like, every dunk after play. Same ordeal. He goes up right here. He falls down. He gets up and his walk. After that play, he got injured. It was the same thing. He looked, turned, and walked the same way. He walked out into the tunnel. So it was just like, what was the injury?
When he walking through the tunnel, you could tell he's injured. He's walking. Limping.
That's how he walked. That's how he walks. Look.
Boy, it looked like he
Look, that's how he
fine.
Walked. Look how he walked right there.
No,
he walked just like that
no,
out of the tunnel.
That's a different walk right
no,
there than
wasn't.
Through the
no,
tunnel.
That wasn't.
Show
no.
me the clip of him walking through the tunnel. That's a different walk.
No, that was the same walk. The one, I mean.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Watch. Walking through the tunnel. I'm walking. I'm just power walk.
But it just looks like he's fine.
Yeah.
It looks like he's favoring that left side. Doesn't it not?
A little bit. I said
Dr. Johnson
a slight limp.
And you got glasses on, Paul.
Maybe.
All right. Your favorite player on the Pelicans is little Jose Alvarado. And what happened to him?
I kept calling him Avocado.
Okay, well, you can call him whatever. I'm sure you called him some other names last night.
He got on my nerves. He's like a little Patrick Beverly to me, just all over the place.
So he comes down early, and he turns one ankle. And then he comes down again, and somebody steps on his ankle and turns the other ankle.
Yeah.
And the first time I thought he was shut down, and he sucked it up and just ran through it, because sometimes you can just keep on moving your ankle until it finally kind of opens back up, and you say, okay, I can do this.
And he's getting treatment right now.
No, dizzy on both sides.
Probably last night as well.
No doubt, okay? But there's a way to just tough it out. You went through so much. How many moments did you get hurt and you thought, oh, my God.
Yeah, but I play a different sport.
Okay, but then you start jogging on the sideline and you say, wait, I can do this.
I twisted my ankle playing basketball.
Oh, God.
I've messed up my wrist playing baseball. But at the same time, my mental says I got to continue through it no matter what the case is.
Okay.
Everybody's not built like that.
Everybody has a very different pain threshold.
Absolutely.
Some can take it and some just can't.
I went out on a whole wheelchair. I went out on a whole wheelchair.
Okay.
And came back.
And then what happened?
Nothing wrong with you.
And came back and played.
Wrong with you. That was for the TV.
Strained meniscus or whatever it was. Twisted or whatever it was, right?
Went out on a wheelchair and came back.
For the TV cameras.
And what happened when you got back
when
on the
I came
floor?
Back,
how did it feel?
Yeah, it was in pain, but come on now. You know the rest of the story.
You just want Marv Albers or somebody to say your name. I know what it was.
You know the rest of the story. But why would I do that in a finals game on purpose?
I understand.
You know?
But the thing is, you can play, though. Your injury wasn't so significant, you couldn't get back out on the court. Clearly, something was wrong with him. He couldn't get on the court.
So, if Zion happens to play Thursday, I'll question this more. If he doesn't, I get it.
No, they play Thursday. They play Friday.
Friday.
He plays Friday.
Yeah.
I'll question this more. If not, then
that puts different heat on him because now it's almost like you don't want
him. What if it's more serious?
If he plays Friday, what would you think about what happened then?
So what's the
if
day?
He plays Friday.
What's today? Wednesday, Thursday.
You got three.
Friday. What are we calling the injury though? We're calling it a hamstring.
I don't know what it is.
The coach. Somebody said hamstring. The coach said leg injury.
Doesn't matter what it is. If he plays Friday, it doesn't matter what the injury was that night. Because that's saying to me, you could have played the last 3 minutes.
No, because you had time to rest and get the treatment, man. You got 2 days.
You're hurt. You're not injured. There's two different things.
Well, he's hurt.
Yeah, he's hurt, not injuries. Now, you can play hurt.
But you can't play hurt at that moment.
You can't play injured.
No, but you can't play hurt at that moment that he got injured. You can't. That's why he went in the locker room. Why else would he go
in
the locker room, PP?
If he plays Friday...
Yeah, but
I'm questioning what happened today.
But why would you question him when he's had Wednesday? He has Tuesday night to get...
That's 2 days. I mean, what, are you just turning into Superman all of a sudden in 2 days? You walked off the court in the biggest game of your life. For a chance to solidify a playoff spot.
Big dog, Paul.
Back and play Friday?
Paul, you know how many professional athletes have gotten hurt in games and played 2-3 days later because there's certain things called medicine that'll get you to going where you need to go. There's certain things that they, you know, you went out of a wheelchair and came back.
The same game.
Yeah, because you...
The same game.
But you was able to. So you went in the locker room, whatever they did, whatever magic they put on you, pixie dust, whatever they rubbed on your knees.
It's not even like, all right, I get it. It's a regular season game. I get that. But this is the moment right now. This is his first postseason
first
time in the playoffs or the play-in or whatever you want to call it.
He's having
the
game.
It's all about the moment. Think about this. How many times we've seen guys that say, if it was the playoffs, I would have played. Mm. But since it's the regular season, if it's the playoffs, I would have played.
Hey, all I know is if I am C.J. McCollum or Brandon Ingram or maybe Larry Nance Jr., I'm looking side-eyed at him, and
I'm thinking, we gotta wait
till Friday. Okay. When he plays Friday, then I'll question.
I can't with y'all.
No, listen though. If he plays Friday, I'll question yesterday. But if he doesn't play Friday, I'm like, okay, this is more serious than what we thought or what we observed.
Even if he played on Friday, you cannot question what occurred Tuesday night.
Well, you're going to question toughness.
Okay,
you're going to question mental will. You're going to question a lot of different things.
If we're talking about a pull or a tear, calf or hamstring, there's no medicine that can fix that in 48 hours. There's none.
Of course, if it's pulled or something like that or it's torn,
then there's no question about it.
But if he done jammed his hip by coming down wrong or all of a sudden it's a slight tweak where all of a sudden there's a knot there, he can't run out on the court with the last 3 minutes of a game.
I got you.
He can play on Friday.
But if he plays Friday, that's what I'm saying. What's three more minutes that night?
Because at that point in time, you can't go up and down the court.
There was no grimace. There was no grabbing nothing. There was no... I mean, it's going to get questioned whether we like it or not. He's going to get questioned. If he plays Friday, we're going to question other things about what happened in the last 3 minutes. I mean, it just is what it is. If he doesn't play Friday...
So let me ask you this, though, Paul. Let me just simplify it for you, big dog. Why do you think he went off the court then if nothing was wrong with him? You think he just said...
I hope something was wrong with him. So if he does play Friday, I don't question what happened yesterday.
Something was wrong with him. That's why he didn't continue the game.
All right, we'll see Friday.
So, Keyshawn, is it possible?
What do you think happened?
Yeah.
I think he jammed something. I think, I personally think.
Jammed toe, jammed
finger. No, I think it's like his hip.
If he jammed.
Because when he's walking in there, when he's walking into the tunnel, Paul, he's leaning heavy on his right side.
Okay. So, if he has a jammed hip, all right.
Okay.
And he plays Friday through the jammed hip, what I'm saying is, why couldn't he play 3 more minutes? For their playoff life.
Because he couldn't go at
that. In the game of his life. You would think that just some type of adrenaline.
I agree.
Like his adrenaline could have just flowed for 3 minutes.
This dude he needs his legs to be able to do anything.
Because to me, this didn't look like an injured player walking off. Mm. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. We'll see Friday. But like I keep saying, if he plays Friday, I'm questioning these last 3 minutes.
So
that's only fair.
Keyshawn, is it possible Zion decided he didn't want Denver in the first round? Did he just say, I'm out?
Stop, man. Skip.
I don't want any part of the Nuggets.
Oh, God. So I'm going to go for 40.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm going to go for 40. I'm going to lead our team in paint scoring and all that. And then the last 3.5 minutes of a damn game, I'm going to just say, this is my last bucket.
Okay.
I don't want Denver. I don't want to see Joker.
Well, it's insane asylum. Okay, I got it. But it's so mysterious. It's so inexplicable that in the game of your life and the game of your team's season, you don't just say, you know what? I'm going to drag my leg back out there. I'm just going to show them that I'm going to be out there. Maybe I can't even go.
But I don't want you on the court. You're no good to me. Mm. I can't help you if you hurt. You can't help us. Why would I want you out there in 3 minutes? When you walking around like a dead man and I got somebody that can run up and down the court and C.J. McCollum that I can just bring in off the bench and now all of a sudden and insert him into the lineup and he can go up and down the court. Why would I do that? That's a disservice to the team.
It's just what you're made of. It's just what's inside you.
In the end, you reach down and say... It's true in certain cases with certain injuries. There's no question about it, Skip. But that injury was significant enough that he couldn't go back on the court, that they sent him to the locker room.
Again, bottom line to this is the three of us have no idea exactly what happened You want to know the truth? The New Orleans team doctors have no real idea of what happened. They just don't. It's up to him explain what happened.
I'm sure, just like we did with AD, and I go back to that.
Yeah.
Because we did not know originally that Larry Nance pushed him in the back the way. We did not look at that. We kept saying to ourselves, what the hell is wrong with him? All of a sudden, he just turns out of it and he's done now? And then once you go back and you start looking at things, we realize, oh, he got pushed in the back. There's where it happened. Maybe they'll find that with Zion. Something happened leading up to that.
Okay, but AD didn't fast walk to the locker room. He went over and looked like he was dying on the side, right? He looked like he was dying.
Think about what you just said. You said AD looking like he was dying.
Yeah.
Basketball player, my nail hurts. I need a wheelchair.
Okay.
I mean, like, come on.
That was gamesmanship on his part.
Man. I was playing chess. I was playing checkers.
God. You're playing possum is what he was playing. All right, we got to get back to the Warriors because Paul Pierce has said for a week on this show, if they go out quickly, it is time to blow them up. So is that time now?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Paul Pierce has been saying here on Undisputed that if the Warriors lost in the play-in, that the dynasty would be dead. It would be time to blow it up and start over. So, Paul, after what you saw last night, has that time come?
Well, I just think when I look at the numbers, Skip, to just, you're $88 million over the cap. You know, so what do you do moving forward? Obviously, if your payroll doesn't justify what you're producing on the court, something has to change. Obviously, you probably should let CP3 walk with his huge contract with them having the option this year. And then you have to figure out what you do with Klay. If you can get something for Klay, maybe do that. But as a class act organization, you might want to sign him on a lower tier deal, but you have to do something. Something has to happen. You have to do what's right for Steph, what's right, what he's done for the organization. Now, I think you should blow it up. I don't think they will, though, because I can't see them coming to Steph saying, should we trade Klay or Draymond? He's loyal to them. Them are his guys. They built what they have in San Francisco. So, in my opinion, if you can extend Klay's prime and get a player for Klay, you blow it up. Or you make the trades to get it. If not, then it's time to sell while you can because as constructed right now, they're no longer contenders. I mean, we've seen that for the last couple of years now with the way the Lakers put them out, with them being in the play-in this year. And they're only getting older as we move forward. And like I said, the tax bill doesn't justify what the product is on the court anymore if you're not contending for a championship.
Well, if they got to make economic decisions based on taxes, then those decisions are going to be tough decisions.
Right.
But they can be made. And when you talk about allowing CP3 to walk, he's not an original Warrior. Right. So if you decide you don't want to exercise his option and, you know, eat up space that way, you want him to walk out the door, that's fine. But when you have the three guys that's left in the building that's speaking highly of Klay, with the head coach of Steve Kerr, obviously Steph Curry and Draymond Green, is saying, no, he's with us. That's our guy. Mm-hmm. He deserves these sort of things. And when you talk to Steve Kerr, when Steve Kerr talks to us and he says, there's plenty of years left in Klay of good basketball because I've seen it. You got to think, we measure Klay, like I measured you as a different player in Boston than I did with the Clippers.
Right.
And Washington, even though you call Glass and all that other
call game.
Game, whatever call you called game. It, call game, call game, whatever it was, you still wasn't Paul Pierce that I remember with the Celtics, even though Klay ain't the Klay that we remember pre-injury.
And when you were in Charlotte, You weren't exactly.
No, but I still caught 80 balls, so leave me alone. Okay. Anyway. But you
didn't call game.
No, a couple times I did. But in the end, though, Skip, in all seriousness, when you look at Clay where he is in his career now, it's not the same Clay as several years ago.
No.
We can all admit to that.
Yeah.
But he's not so egregious to the team and the organization that you just package him up and throw him away. No. The last time they missed the playoffs was in 2021. You know what they did the next year?
They turned it right around.
And won a championship.
They did.
And I understand. They're a little bit older now. I get all of that.
They dealt with injuries that year. That's why they missed the playoffs.
They still missed it.
Yeah.
And they dealt with some significant stuff this year.
Yeah.
Whether you want to carry over the Wiggins situation from a year ago where he was trying to figure it out, carry it over. Whether it's the Draymond Green punch in the face, carry it over to this year. Then all of a sudden, suspensions. You can factor all those things into the equation. You said it yourself. If Draymond had played, I don't know what he missed, 10 games?
He played 55 games this year.
Okay.
So out of 82, he's 18, 20.
Okay, so just chop that in half and say they win, they go 500. Now they over 50 games. We're now they sitting in the fourth spot or something like that. We're having a different type of conversation. You got to look at everything, not just the fact that Sacramento got at him and blew him out the building. Yeah. So now we sitting there going, well, they should just blow this thing up. They should just be done with it. It's almost like looking at the Lakers last night. If the Lakers lose to the Pelicans, we should just blow that up too.
But you got to put into equation they're a year older. Next year, their core is going to be 35, 34, 35.
Yeah, they're going to be a little bit older.
Steph's 36, so he'd be 37 36. Next year. Okay, that's okay.
And he still can shoot.
Can he?
With the best of them.
When he's 47, he'll be able to shoot.
I do believe Clay has a lot of solid years left at a different role. I think moving forward, his role is probably to come off the bench. And so, you know, you can pay him less. You don't have to pay him starter money. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'll take that 20-plus million.
Yeah, I mean, you give him like 2 years.
You too,
I think they go back to the table with the same deal they offered him last year.
Yeah.
You know, to keep the core together for the next couple years. And they can ride off into the sunset. Like, blow it up is kind of extreme, Skip. I probably it's the end of the era for them. You know, I think I was leaning more toward that I don't see this core winning another championship.
Okay. There's one player neither of you have brought up, and I'm going to bring him up. Because he is the dominant personality in this franchise times 10. And it's a guy, Keyshawn, you know very well, a guy you've been to dinner with. I think you've been to dinner with everybody in sports at least once or twice, right?
Right.
But with Draymond, he's a great guy. People love him. Everybody I know who knows him just loves him. And they enjoy being around him. They enjoy his company because off the court, he's a barrel of laughs. He's just a lot of fun to be around because his personality is really great off the floor. And he's got a great future in broadcasting when this is over. So he's 34 now. He just finished his 11th season. And to me, even though he provides this team with its edge, because it's a finesse basketball team except for him.
Yes.
So he provides the edge, but he also keeps everybody in the franchise on edge to a fault.
But that's a good thing. They've won four championships.
Edge, okay. But at some point, it looked like, to me, this is just me watching it this year, it just got to the point where everybody's so on edge that it's more trouble than it's worth. So if you want to blow it up, there's one big move to make, and it's to try to move Draymond. I don't know that anybody's going to take the contract that you gave him because it's a barrel of money. But it would be one of those bottom feeders, a Charlotte, a Detroit, a Portland, who would say, we would love to have the personality for box office but because he is big box office, right?
You can't remove the intangibles that he brings to the organization.
They're big.
They are who they are because of him, not because of the shooting and all the stuff that we like to see because of the Splash Brothers.
Yeah.
It's because of him.
Even
his own teammates have said, dude, we got to have you to be able to do what we need done.
But he's
you can't
always
just remove him like that.
He's always an instant away from disaster, right?
That's fine.
Okay.
We're willing to, it is worth the price of admission. It is worth every single dime to be on edge in the lip. We got four championships out of this. It's worth it.
What did you get this year with Draymond? Mostly there for 55 games. Your home record is 21-20 That's just wrong.
I'd like to know how many of those games he missed. I should have looked that up.
Well, we should have looked it up. But the point is, you are who your record says you are. You're 21-20 at home. You've lost your edge at home. Mm-hmm. On the road, you're very good. You were the best team on the road over the last couple of months of the season because you went 17-4 in your last 21 road games. You take that to your bank. But if you run it back with all, because that's where you're both going, you're like, well, you gotta. Okay, I get it. You bring them all back and you say, okay, now you're 37 and you're 35 and you're 35. You're going to contend next year? I don't think so. I can't see it.
They're not a contender.
Yeah.
Maybe as constructed, they're not contenders, but doesn't mean that the three pieces that they have, you don't move them around and then bring other pieces in.
If you can keep your core together and somehow lower your tax bill or somehow get under the tax bill, it justifies that. Now, if you can try to move some of these younger pieces and get a all-star caliber player, that makes sense. But like I said, paying $88 million over the tax as constructed doesn't make sense or doesn't justify the type of team that they're putting on the court right now as currently constructed.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Lakeham, who's a smart businessman, is just going to say, I don't care. I've got more money than God.
Well, there's
going
to be pay cuts and all this. Like I said, you let CP walk. You cut, you know, Clay, he's ending the five-year deal that paid him $189 million a year. You know what I'm saying? So that's, what, $40 million a year? Something like that?
You give him a little more than half?
24, 2 years, 48.
He already got offered that.
Yeah, okay. So he'll probably come back with the same offer. I think he'll take it this time, you know, knowing that he's going to be on a less playing a lesser role than he did this year, going into next year, which will be good for him on his body. You don't have to worry about being at the age of 34 guarding the best players on the perimeter, chasing those guys around like we saw against Sacramento, that he's just not fit to play starter minutes against these youthful teams that are faster, younger, more athletic, to where now he can come off the bench and play a shooter role in less minutes and where he can be effective.
So what did you guys see last night? Because I know what my eyes told me. My eyes told me old and slow. That's what it looked like.
It looked like that they didn't have the same juice. The Kings.
Okay, so you know what the impact for me was? You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of my Dallas Cowboys being down 27-0 before halftime of a home playoff game. That was the equivalent of, because
they went outside, Royce Freeman, y'all be all right.
Royce Freeman, we're done now. That's all we're going to do in the offseason is Royce Freeman, and it's over. Now we're going to win it all next year because of Royce Freeman. Okay, the point is this. It's unusual because of this new format to have a one and done game, because you guys never had a one and done. They were always seven game, maybe some. Did you have five game series?
When I came in the league, five games, first round.
All right, but still, it's five games. This is one and done. And it was ironic. Draymond was talking on his podcast, I think yesterday, about I hate the play-in, but I love it for the fans because this is sensational. And remember, LeBron said whoever came up with this idea should be fired. And Draymond saying he should be rehired. Whoever came up with this idea should be rehired. Well, then they got thrown into the cauldron of a one-and-done game at Sacramento when you got to sit back and assess it the way you do an NFL playoff game, which is do or die, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Win or go home. Well, here was a win or go home. One shot deal that wasn't five games or seven games. You got to just sit here and say, wait a second. We were overmatched. We weren't even competitive last night. Mm-hmm. You lose the second half by 20. You lose the game by whatever it was, 24 points. Well, that's wrong.
And it
right?
could have been the greatest game plan Mike Brown ever came up with in his coaching career.
I don't know.
Slow down Steph Curry and you slow down everybody else.
Boy, I think they need to make a dramatic move.
That was the
pick your poison.